If you could only get one altcoin right now, get this one. I'm talking about the coin we believe has the strongest upside potential in today's market. After analyzing hundreds of altcoins, guys, this is the opportunity that keeps me awake with excitement all night. So here's why. It's got the perfect combination of strong fundamentals, proven team, and a catalyst that could send it significantly higher in the coming months. Yet it's still flying under the radar of many retail investors, which means you've still got time to get positioned before the crowd catches on. Look, we believe this is the perfect time to get in on this specific coin. So to get the full breakdown, just go to www.cryptorevolution.com/coin right now. The window of opportunity will not stay open forever.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 Rundown presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And we hope everyone's having a good start to their year. We are getting back in the swing of things, doing these things on a routine basis once again. I'm joined here by TiVo, of course. We're going to be running through all this. And TiVo, there's a lot to talk about today. We have the Clarity Act. We have a lot of, I think you could say, you know, it's pretty safe to say it's turmoil. You know, we have some people who agree, some people who disagree. Everyone wants it to pass, but they have different views about how it should be written. And so we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be breaking it down. We're going to be explaining everything that you need to know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. And of course, talk about the markets. I mean, Bitcoin's breaking out. Altcoins are breaking out. We're seeing them get through critical resistance levels. Prices are moving higher. Inflows are back on the rise. And there's all sorts of metrics. I mean, we're also on the volume chart. I mean, we'll talk about this. We're seeing some of the highest green day volumes that we've seen in nearly a year, about 8 to 9 months. And so there's that to talk about as well. The market is moving. And TiVo, how are we doing, man? A lot going on right now.
A lot going on. There's just a palpable taste of things going on in the crypto markets. And that's exactly why we do this show. I was talking to you before we went live. It was like, hey, this is the perfect day for a rundown. So much to go over. There is momentum in the crypto markets, specifically Bitcoin. And ETH had some really good green action over the last couple of days since we last spoke. Basically, I know last week we had Brian on. He said on the air he was feeling really bullish. You were kind of showing us the charts, saying the same thing, like, hey, there's different ways this can go, but I like what I'm seeing. I know you've said that not only on the show but inside the private community more in depth in your trading course and everything. So it's good to see that price action come to fruition. So a lot to break down, the prices, which we'll do. And then the Clarity Act had some huge breaking news updates with Coinbase and Brian Armstrong leading the way and coming out against it, which is going to kind of push and pause the voting. They call it the markup of the bill. So a lot to break down here. I think we just kick it off with what the people love and why you're here, Brendan, the charts. I know you have a micro bull run course opening coming up in the next 2 weeks, I believe. So if anybody's interested in doing, like Brendan just flopped up there, the charts, if you're interested in learning more with Brendan in the technical analysis space, he does have his 6-week program. So what I did is I have a link below in the show notes and on YouTube, and it's not to sign up or anything. It's just to get alerted. You'll get Brendan's first alerts, and then when the course does open up, you'll get information on that as well. So check out the description again at no cost. Just drop your email in to get the free updates from Brendan. And if you're interested in the information about the course, that's how you'll get it. But let's take a look at what the course is all about with some technical analysis on the green action we've seen this week, Brendan.
Yeah, I mean, let's analyze the charts, man. Bitcoin's doing just beautiful things here. There's a couple of things that we highlighted.
Exactly what look at that. Look at that break through that line. You were talking about it. Yeah. Like, we just need a clean break. We're looking for it.
We're getting it. We're literally getting it in real time, and it's fantastic. I mean, this is one of the things that we were looking at, saying, hey, you were seeing breaking of the bearish structure, of the short-term bearish structure. You know, just to give everyone a little bit of a recap, you have this 50-day moving average and the 20-day moving average. 50 is red, 20 is blue, 200 is yellow. And he had the October 10th liquidation up here. We broke below the 50 and we rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. And we kept trading below it until fairly recently. And we saw price action get back above the 20, back above the 50, break back up to our primary resistance that we were in. And then we came back and we tested them as support instead of as resistance. And it's a huge turning point. That is what you call like a full break of structure. In fact, I like to call this the break, hook, and go, where you see a break of resistance, the hook retesting that resistance as now support, and then the go is the continuation to the upside afterwards. So you had the breaking of these moving averages, them turning into resistance and flipping. You also had what we call a short-term golden cross, which is where you have the 20-day moving average cross upwards over the 50-day moving average. And so you have these shorter-term moving averages crossing back to the upside over one another. And now instead of pointing downwards, they're pointing back to the upside ever so slightly, and they're having the crossover. And then the third thing that really stood out here is that you saw a very clear rising level of support down in here with a very clear flat level of resistance up in here. You know, we hit the $94,000 level and then we came down to 80, then back up to 94, then back down to 84, then back up to 94 twice, then back up to 85. And, you know, we essentially just continue to see price climb to higher lows as it squeezed into this flat level of resistance. And in technical analysis, you know, when we're looking at the charts, you call that an ascending triangle because pressure is squeezing to the upside from the buyers. And, you know, while there's no guarantees, the majority of the time it breaks out to the upside. And you see pressure build and build and build until there is this breakout moment to the upside. And so far, all of these things have proven pretty right and pretty well. And we're seeing the upside breakout happen in real time. And so I'm really pleased with the chart. And I'll tell you what, this looks about as close as we can get to having confirmation of like a full-blown reversal. I think when I'm looking for a reversal on Bitcoin here, I want to see the break of the downtrend. I want to see the break of the short-term bearish structure. I want to see the break into higher highs. I want to see us continue to see higher lows. I want to see a short-term golden cross. And I want to see us come back from oversold territories. And we've seen all of that. You've seen Bitcoin now breaking out the higher highs. You've seen consistent higher lows. You have the break of the short-term moving averages. You have them crossing back to the upside. And then on the indicators, you know, like the RSI, this thing's coming from deep oversold, the most oversold that it has been since August of 2023 on the daily chart. And that was a historic moment. If you look at it on the weekly, it was the most oversold that it's been since August of 2022. If you look at the MACD, it was the most oversold it has ever been on Coinbase's exchange. And the Fear and Greed Index was a 10, which is like historically a bottoming area that we've seen during like major pullbacks. And so all the data would really lean us towards this idea that Bitcoin has put in a reversal moment. And so, you know, we can never kind of come on here and say it's guaranteed or it's absolute, because anything can happen, right? Literally anything can happen, and it can make prices go back down, and there's always going to be the off chance. But when I'm looking at the data now, I would say that the data is very clearly trying to point, the overwhelming amount of evidence, we'll put it that way, is saying that there's a reversal being put in on Bitcoin, and it's trying to reverse out of the 6 to 7 month lull that it's been in since around July. And for altcoins, it's been a lot worse. Because with Bitcoin, it kind of just went sideways from July to October. For altcoins, they pretty much went down. Depending on the coin that you look at, they pretty much started going down in July in that area. And they just never stopped. So then it had this like brief sideways consolidation phase that Bitcoin had. But it looks like we're really reversing here. It does. And I think the market looks fairly good. You're seeing some altcoins that are still red on the day, which again is normal. Altcoins continue to lag behind a little bit. So I'm going to continue to watch that because they are still seeing some level of underperformance. There are days where they overperform, and we've had a couple of those recently. My fear here is on the red days, on the pullbacks, you know, how are they going to hold up? And on a day like today where Bitcoin's down about 0.5% and you see the average altcoin down multiples of that, it's, again, not really what you want to see if you want altcoins to actually outperform. You know, you have XRP down 2.5%, Solana down 2.5%, SUI down 3.5%, Aerodrome down almost 6%. And then you get into the average altcoins, which are down around 3 to 5% across the board. while Bitcoin's only down about 0.5%. So still going to need to keep a close eye on altcoins. I'm getting a little bit of negative volatility day today. But there's been some big winners here. I mean, you have Monero running just completely parabolic. You have Dash running completely parabolic with it. I'm doing hundreds of percent. Another one that we've talked about on here, Pump.fun, something I have exposure to, rallying really hard off the lows, up about 70% in the last three or so weeks. And so I've been keeping a close eye on that. And you know, just again, coins across the board here trying to put in some reversals. You see ETH kind of trying to break out of the top of this pennant. You have Solana trying to break this range that it has been in as well. You have BNB trying to break to the upper range of what it has been in over in here. And XRP, which is one that we always get asked about, so I got to cover it. This thing's been in a big old downtrend for literally since July, like I was saying. And you see this very clear resistance line. And so I want to see this break for XRP. And then I think that there can be some nice upside. But it has to break that. You know, that is the factor that needs to happen. And until it happens, you know, the odds are it's going to continue to underperform because it has been underperforming in comparison to a lot of the other large caps. And so long as that trend line is there, it looks like it's going to continue to kind of be an underperformer. But I think once that breaks, you can get a really big breakout in this thing. And so it's worth keeping an eye on for sure. And then, of course, you have pressure coming in from everywhere, you know, like the metals market, which is something that we've talked about, Devo, just going crazy. And so there's the thought that maybe the metals market is stealing some of the momentum away from crypto, and there's been that talk. And if that is the case, then I do think, again, with crypto picking back up, there could be a huge catch-up game that could very likely happen. That's what we're seeing. If you can't tell, I'm pretty optimistic. We're going to get pullbacks, and we're going to have times where there's red days. But the overall picture of the charts, personally, I would say the overwhelming amount of evidence looks pretty good. Looks like a pretty good area of value, especially as we pull back.
A new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. If you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality, so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Quince has everything you need. Their outerwear is especially impressive. Think down jackets, wool coats, and Italian leather outerwear that keeps you warm when it's actually cold. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. Plus, they cut out the middleman, so you're getting awesome prices. The wool coat that I got from Quince is super stylish. It's holding up way better than other coats I've bought before, and those coats were way more expensive. It looks good, it keeps me warm, and I didn't have to drop a fortune on it. Plus, their online website is super fun to shop on. It's fun looking to peruse, to look at their outerwear, but also they have super cool shirts, workout stuff. They even have a home section. You can get stuff for your house. Their website is awesome. You have to go check it out. So guys, refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, W-E-B, ROOT.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. Webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their total protection plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot.
Yeah, and then we'll do if you can zoom out, do a little off the cuff for me here. Can you go back to when Bitcoin first broke 100K?
Right in here, over here on this move.
Yeah, so this is just me pulling. This is classic TiVo pulling something out of the hat here. I just feel like the sentiment got so negative recently, as we've covered, right? And you can kind of see it's actually happened again, right? We broke 100, we came back down, we rallied up, and then went through. It's like, is the sentiment around 100K, even though we've broken it once before, could that kind of euphoria come back once we break 100K, where everybody, it's kind of like that classic meme. It's like the Bitcoin price was 120K and it was like, oh, I'm not buying that crap. And then it got, you know, and then, or no, sorry, it's the Bitcoin price is 82K. It's like, I'm not buying that crap. And then it's like, oh, 120K. It's like, oh, I should have bought more when it was at 80 type of thing. It's like, I feel like we've reset expectations a little bit. It definitely for retail, at least for that 100K, it's such a, you know, mental price target there that when it breaks through and if it holds above 100, you know, 102, 105, once it gets to 107, everybody starts panicking and piles in. It feels like we could be set up for that possibly again.
Yeah, it does. And I think to your point, I see two resistance levels. I see 100K first. It's a psychological resistance level. You see it used to support a little bit in here. I think it makes sense around 99 to 100. After that, I do think we're kind of back off to the races. The only thing that I fear is you have this 200-day moving average, which is the biggest and arguably the strongest, but you know, we'll see. Doesn't always have to be. And then you have the bottom of this consolidation range at all-time highs. You know, this used to be the all-time high resistance level. We broke it, used it as support for a long time before the breakdown happened. And so my only fear is coming back up towards this like 106 to 110 range. We know it was a pretty significant area when we were beneath it and when we were above it. And so as we come up into there, I think that could be some rough waters. But other than that, you know, there's literally just, you know, a much smaller resistance around 100K, big resistance, maybe 106 to 110, and then you have all-time high resistance. And that's really it. You know, there's a kind of, maybe some other minor levels in there, but for the most part, you know, that's what we have. And I think that you're right, is that once 100K starts breaking again, I think you start getting FOMO and euphoria back. It's going to be headlines. It's going to be headlines. There's going to be people talking about it. There's going to be, you know, your favorite friend or uncle saying, I told you so. And you're going to see people on CNBC again and all over the news. And that's just the way that it goes. But I think you're pretty spot on.
Yeah. And I think a piece of evidence that would actually add to that is how, and I'll pull up my screen real quick, and it's how the price action here is happening inside of crypto, and it's uncorrelated, and we've been uncorrelated for a while, which we've covered. Obviously crypto leading into the end of the year was going down, you know, kind of in an almost bear market like structure of falling pretty fast when the rest of the market was pretty stable, and even continued to make all-time highs, and crypto and Bitcoin didn't recover. Now we're continuing the divergence, which I think is really healthy. You know, the S&P and Amazon and, you know, all those Mag 7s, they don't move like crypto does at the, you know, the velocity and that it does. But when you see that stocks are having a bad day and a couple down days this week, which is the first down days of the year, really, and crypto continues to its positive momentum, I think that's really healthy. And that catch-up trade could kind of lead to that momentum trade of like, here's the swing trade. It's like, okay, is gold and silver going to go up forever? Maybe. But I mean, that chart specifically, silver is starting to look like a freaking hockey stick. And, you know, when we do the TA, whether it's any project, a stock or a meme coin, it's like when you start to get that hockey stick, you got to be a little careful there and understand your trade, right? So I think if the Mag 7 and the stock market, the macro started selling off and crypto continued to go down, that would be like a little alarming for me, but I really like the continued divergence with the crypto strength here. And then I'll hand it off to you as I pull up the ETF data, because it kind of just continues to back up the price action of strong ETF data, you know, on the back end of the 30-day chart here.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing is there's always, for people who do go through the chart program with me and we get to talk about it, one of the things that I always say in there is that you need to see two things on a breakout or a breakdown. You need to see volume and volatility. And another great way to kind of back up these ideas is look at the ETF inflows. And these things were red for a bit. And what we've started to see here is that over the last couple of days, the amount of inflows, money coming in at the end of the day, net money coming in, is increasing day over day for the past 3 days. And it's seeing a lot. The net inflows, I believe, for yesterday were $840 million, almost $1 billion, Tebow. That is a ton of money. In fact, can you hover over that candlestick on the very right side of the chart, on the most recent one, and see if it allows you? Yeah, so $840 million in total net flows. That's crazy. It's a lot. And so from the ETF standpoint, you're seeing that we're seeing a lot of money come back in, and people are getting excited again. So I like that. There was one other thing I meant to show, Tebow, and I forgot to show this on the charts. It kind of fits into these points, and maybe I can throw up a screen share real fast and then hand it back to you.
Yeah. No, just last point. This is the last point on the ETF flow. It's kind of building off this 100K is, you know, another mental barrier, but when it breaks, you can see what happens here. So I pulled the ETF flow out into the year chart, and you can see here, you know, if we correlate that to what we showed on the charts when we first broke 100K, right? Just absolute bananas from the ETFs. And then, you know, kind of had some big days, had some outflows. You know, we covered how it actually stayed pretty stable, which was amazing for these ETF holders to learn to hodl with the volatility. But I don't know. I really do like the setup here on Bitcoin. And we've been talking about that since it's been down in the 80s.
Yeah, we have been. Yeah. So I think there's good reason to want to watch it here. And I think that's the point that we're trying to make. From the charting perspective, the two things that I wanted to show is that, number one, like obviously we're getting the volatility on the breakout, and we already looked at that. When we're looking at volume, we're seeing the highest levels of green day volume that we've seen on Bitcoin in a really long time, almost a year. And I said this at the beginning. And so let me just share my screen one more time here, and I'll let everyone just see this because I think it's important for everyone to understand it. Let me add the volume back to my chart. But if you're looking at this, this is the highest level. So you have our green day volume right here coming up. And when you're looking at this throughout history, this is the highest level that we've seen since April of this year. It is the highest level of net green day volume, or the highest amount of volume that we've seen on a green day since April. And you know what this date was? This was the 2 days that it was competing with is April 9th and April 7th. April 9th and April 7th. You know what those 2 days were, Tebow? That was the bottom of the market. Yeah. We are now seeing the highest level of green day volumes that we've seen in the market since the reversal right here. And then even competing with these candles and greater than these big green candles that we've seen right here. And so what does that tell me? Well, that tells me that, again, I think it feeds into the idea of a reversal. We have not seen green day volume candles this high since the reversal from the tariff crash. And so I think that goes a pretty big distance to say, hey, this is more evidence that this is a reversal in what we're seeing right now in terms of price action. So I was looking at that yesterday and doing a little bit of an analysis, and it stuck out to me, and I was like, man, this is looking really convincing. I think more people should know about it.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot of key data points that I think we've been covering for a long time on these episodes that, again, it's you got to put in the research at all times, when it's euphoria, when the price action is down. It's kind of what we try to preach of, you know, whether it's the podcast or if you want more access to the team through the community. This is, you know, you make your best research and your best investments when you cover it full, you know, full steam ahead throughout the volatility. Whereas, you know, we see, you know, when the price action goes up, and we're talking about if we do break through that 100K and keep going, like, More people are going to be in the community. More people are going to be watching the YouTubes and the podcasts. But it's the core viewers and listeners that we all appreciate so much that, you know, come with us every week that can kind of, you know, you got to do your own research. We're not personal financial advisors, we say all the time, but it's, you know, you got to plan your trades and trade your plan. And part of that's, you know, getting the research done. When things aren't going your way, when they are going your way, or when they're sideways and a little boring. We've had a couple times, I remember, it was like, I think, you know, a year and a half ago, that one summer, we were like, what do we talk about? Like, the price action was sideways, there was no news, it was hard pumping out episodes, but it helped us into the fall. I think we got to fall back on a lot of research that we did over that time that led us into that great run we had at the end of 24 into 25. But let's transition into the topic of the day, Brendan. It is the Clarity Act, something that we talked about. Basically, we set the table up. So if you're new to this episode and you're not sure truly what the Clarity Act is, go back and listen to the episode Brendan and I did a couple days ago, and that can get you teed up, because what we're going to talk about now is how the Clarity Act is actually getting pushback. And the biggest pushback has come from Brian Armstrong out of Coinbase. So the Clarity Act was going into what's called a markup phase. I did take one class of political science at the University of Delaware, so you basically can call me an expert if you want, which I'm clearly not. That was just a joke. But it's the the markup phase, like, hey, there's little things we want to change, but we're going to try and push this forward to a vote, was basically what was supposed to happen this week. And Brian Armstrong came out yesterday and basically slammed the brakes on the Clarity Act and said Coinbase is going to have to withdraw its support for the Clarity Act. It sent crypto Twitter a buzz. I do think it was a big surprise, because we kind of covered this a couple days ago. I guess let's point out why Brian Armstrong didn't want to do it. So let's pull up the tweet that you did with Brian and Brian underneath talking about reviewing it, and then we can kind of reverse engineer it of what we talked about on Tuesday when the odds of Polymarket were skyrocketing. I'm sorry, not skyrocketing. We're falling off a cliff, and now it all adds up, right? Because we saw this pushback in the afternoon or the next day after we recorded in the morning. So I thought it was really interesting to kind of tee up what we saw on X yesterday and then bring it back to Polymarket with the odds. So what were some of the points that you caught, Brendan, of why, you know, Brian Armstrong and Coinbase don't want to support it, and now kind of crypto Twitter seems to be rallying behind him a little bit?
Yeah, so Brian came out and he had a couple of like key points, right? There's all these little things and stuff. The key points were he did not like the way that the Clarity Act viewed tokenization. Everyone seems to be pretty big on it. And he's like, this just is bad for tokenization. And he was arguing this is just a de facto ban on tokenized equities, which he doesn't want to see. And I would argue a lot of the banks also don't want to see that, because if you look at what Larry Fink and JP Morgan and Citigroup and Bank of America and all of them have talked about or written about, they are very clearly excited about this area of tokenization as well. So I think they would even side with him on this. The big reason that I saw before we even get into the others was it's the way that it was looking to handle stablecoin rewards and rewards on stablecoins and anything similar to that nature. He even said that he think that it would kill those rewards. I mean, it would just really kind of destroy that side of the industry. And that seems to be what people are the most hung up on. And then there's other things he argued that it would have an erosion effect of the CFTC's authority. And then the other one is that there would be issues with DeFi. He said that there would be DeFi prohibitions giving the government unlimited access to your financial records and removing your right to privacy, which kind of goes back to why we banned having a CBDC. And even if there's not a CBDC who can do stuff like that, this looks like it's still incredibly invasive. And so we want to make sure that we don't have that, because otherwise you just have way too much overreach and way too much insight. And nobody wants to have like all of their privacy access removed, especially when it comes to your money. Like, you want to have what you buy all with your bank account and your credit card and just like whatever you buy, period. Like, not everyone needs to have access to all of that. And I understand, like, if you're doing something bad, then you can go and view that. But that's how the normal system works. This would essentially be giving the government and people, like, much, much more access to your financial records and removing a huge layer of privacy. And so he's coming out for all these different reasons, just saying, hey, I don't like the way that it looks at stablecoins. I don't like the way that it looks at tokenization. I don't like the overreach that it has. And I also just don't like some of the like regulatory stuff and the way that this would handle the crypto market. I don't think that it does it justice. And because of that, you know, I think it needs to be revised. And so there's been a little bit of a back and forth. The one thing that I want everyone to understand, because we talked about the Clarity Act a lot in our Monday episode, TiVo, and we went over and we covered like what it was and the point of it there. Now there's been these changes. I still want to reiterate that almost everybody wants this thing to be passed. The one thing that we're disagreeing about here is what should be revised and what should be changed before it passes. So it's not a matter of people thinking, oh, Clarity Act good versus bad. Everyone thinks it's good. They just think that there should be revisions done in different ways, right? And so that's what the big takeaway here is. And TiVo, can we, I don't know if we have a soundboard for this, but a round of applause for us, because on Monday we were looking at the odds for the Clarity Act in 2025 or 2026 to pass, and we saw it at 15% on air. And we were talking about it. We're like, 15% just seems too low. It was January 13th or what was it, 11th or 12th or something like that. It's the start of January of the year, and the odds are at 15% because of one little piece of news. That doesn't make any sense. And the odds skyrocketed back up. I haven't checked them today, but last I saw that they were at 55%.
Try 61%.
61.
So. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Six. So yeah, we were literally on air here on this drop, right? It was 10:30 in the morning, right? We went live at 10, exactly 10:30. You could have got it at 19% while we were, if you watch the lives, folks, if you're tuning in when you can and available on YouTube, like that's, I mean, that's some alpha at 19%. Now you could trade out of that. You don't have to wait for this thing to clear. You could trade out of that contract today if the liquidity's there, which it probably is because it's in the news. You could trade out of that for, double your money, maybe more, you know, to, it was plus 300 about, so 200-300% of your money there, which is not a bad way to do a trade in a couple days. So pure alpha here from the Crypto 101 pod, which we know we love to give. I know Brian McNutt was in the live and owes us a couple beers, which we'll collect from him when we meet up soon in San Diego. So excited about that. But yeah, again, it's there's just so many of these tools of, you know, the betting markets, Kalshi, Polymark, and everything. That's why we talk about them in the shows, because again, it's leading the news. We were on air Monday seeing this, and then the next day or 2 days later was, I guess, I think we recorded Tuesday. So it was the next day was these odds were falling off a cliff. And that's because, you know, Coinbase was, you know, there's people that know. Somebody always knows, whether it's the stock market, crypto, and everything. Somebody knows and started, you know, hammering this down, being like, oh, Coinbase is going to pull their support for it. And then obviously it's kind of evening out, and we're seeing where the truth lies at 61% for getting this passed this year. But I think I'm pulling up Robinhood, or no, let's go why. Like, so there's certain things in there around the stablecoin yield. So what does that mean for people who haven't heard us talk on the show before? So this came out this week. So JP Morgan had a record high net interest income. So $25 billion of net interest income. This is what they're trying to protect, whether it's Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, you know, it's all trying to protect this net interest income. If you're a bank, and we've talked about this on the show, how you don't get any yield. If you're just in a, you know, just a normal checking or savings account, you're basically collecting nothing for your money. And what, you know, Brian Armstrong wants, and what Vlad wants, is to be able to offer a variety of on-chain solutions to be able to give you yield for your stable coins. So they're worried about flight risk. I saw something. Did I retweet it? Let's see. We're going live here, folks. I know it was Wolf. Let's go Scott Melker. Let's give him a shout out. Let's go to Wolf. It was he tweeted out some CEO. I think it was Bank of America. Oh man, it's too much Galaxy. Bank of America says up to $6 trillion could migrate from U.S. banking system into stablecoins if interest-bearing stablecoins are allowed. So again, it's not even that they don't want it to be, they don't want to give it either. Like you could say, well, they could just give this product as well if it passed, right? JP Morgan could offer its yield bearing stablecoin. They don't want to do that because then they're going to be losing out on that $25 trillion of revenue that they're bringing in. So I think that's the fight. And I think it's always rich when you see Liz Warren fighting for the banks. So there's a lot of stuff in the news that Elizabeth Warren is working with Donald Trump together to cap credit card rates, which is a whole different subject we're not going to dive into here. But at the same time, she's like, oh, help the little guy, help the little guy. But at the same time, she's lobbying for the big banks to be able to keep their yield, their net interest yield, and doesn't want to give it to the people. So a little Jekyll and Hyde there of politics, as it always is. But Vlad tweeted this morning, I had it up, I might let me go back and find it. Vlad tweeted that it was not necessarily as volatile as Brian, basically saying, hey, there's some things we could change, but basically still, like you said, still giving support. People want this thing to pass. But, you know, I think he said, let's there's still some work to be done, but we see a path and are here to help the GOP and the Senate Banking Committee get it over the line. So I think that kind of sums it up. There's something very specific that Brian Armstrong seems to be fighting for, and you have to remember, again, he's looking for the best interest of Coinbase and its shareholders. But again, just a little back and forth here. We're in the political headlines. It is A Block news all over business media.
Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee, and right now you can grab a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. To qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
It is, man. And so, I think it's a matter of time until this thing passes. Hopefully we do see it this year. I think the crypto industry clearly wants it to happen. We're longing for it. And we're going to continue to cover it as time goes on.
Yeah, but it's a perfect segue. We'll close out this with SEC Chair Paul Atkins' video. It's about 3 minutes. We probably won't listen to it all, but it's basically saying, hey, all U.S. markets will be on chain within 2 years. So some type of legislation, I think, in this term has to be passed for that to happen. This is where the world's going, and we need the guardrails to get it done. And so, you know, again, we're not in Washington lobbying, but we're just covering the news. But this is who's trying to set all this up and get it moving in the SEC compared to what Gary Gensler was a couple years ago, right? So let's hear what our SEC chair had to say on the top.
Tokenization is the idea of using then smart contracts or tokens on-chain to be able to that represent, say, an underlying security. So then that tokenized security is a security and would be subject to SEC rules by law. But the idea is that it's if it's on-chain, on a blockchain, then there's much more transparency as to where it is. Right now, there's a bit of opacity as to, you know, who owns what and where the company usually doesn't even know where its who its shareholders are and where the shareholders reside, where the shares reside. So tokenization has the benefit of potentially having, instead of T plus one now trade date plus one for clearance and settlement, the prospect of maybe T zero. Now, depending on the instrument, and we have to think about netting and all sorts of other things with respect to some instruments. But in principle, the idea of on-chain delivery versus payment and receipt versus payment, DVP, RVP on-chain, is a prospect of de-risking the markets, making them much more transparent and then sure as far as clearance and settlement, because it's always that the gap between clearance and settlement and then delivery and payment is the real introduces risk into the system.
So just the summary there is better, faster. That's the future of the financial system, to get it on chain. I think everybody it goes back to protecting your piece of the pie, right? Like, why would these legacy banks want a change when they can literally do literally nothing and just collect that interest yield without giving anything back to the consumer? So it's fascinating times to really be covering this. I think it's changing literally the future as we know it, and we're all here kind of breaking it down in real time. Any final thoughts before we move on, Brennan?
No, I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. I think we're going to continue to see it grow. If that's how the chairman of the SEC views this stuff, I feel like we're in pretty good hands. So
I love
that's
it.
That's about it, Tito.
Yeah, no, but a couple more things to talk about, specifically because we have a big YouTube, Mr. Beast. Anytime you can get in with Mr. Beast, you know you're making noise, especially in the content world. For those who might not be familiar with Mr. Beast in our audience, because we have a huge audience that ranges from different age brackets, Mr. Beast is, you could call him basically Mr. YouTube. He has cracked the code of YouTube. He is YouTube's largest creator. You can make an argument of like most successful creator of all time. There's tons of them, but Mr. Beast basically owns the YouTube algorithm. And if you're not familiar with him, you can look him up and just understand that this guy's created an empire off of his YouTube videos worth billions of dollars. And the most interesting, we bring this up, like, why are you talking about YouTube, Mr. Beast? What's going on? Well, we haven't talked about, we always talk about Bitmine staking. We haven't dove into a Bitmine topic in a while, but this one is worth doing. Bitmine invests $200 million into the Beast Industries, which is Mr. Beast's company. Obviously, it covers his YouTube. I mean, again, for those who don't know this guy, he has Beastables, which is like, what's that old school Lunchable? He made like a Mr. Lunchly. Beastable. No. Lunchables was when we were kids, and you get a Lunchable in your backpack, and it would be like a little mini pizza or nachos or whatever. And he created his own brand of that. Now it's in stores. He has a chocolate bar. He has Beast Burgers. He has this whole, Beast empire based off of his YouTube. And it seems that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the Lunchables line is called Lunchly. And that's what they named it. And then he has a toy brand. And I heard that his toy and game brand or whatever was doing over 100 or maybe over 200 million a year, which is crazy.
Yeah. So, and Lunchly's partnered with Logan Paul and I can't remember that guy's name.
KSI
and Prime Energy. So again, we're getting a little bit into the millennial world here, but that's the future, right? I mean, I know Logan Paul's huge into collectibles. I think he's trying to sell right now the most expensive Pokemon card in history. And that's the type of stuff so why is Tom Lee and Bitmine going in and investing in this? It's like, hey, eventually, in their theory, all this is coming on chain. All this is coming to Ethereum. right? And so it's kind of an interesting investment for sure. But with everything trying to come on chain, you know, the one of the biggest creators and the biggest creator empire trying to move that on chain. Like, if this is, we don't have the specifics of the deal. But my guess, and I'm leading a little bit here. Actually, you know what? This is TiVo real time producing. Let's go to a video I saw Tom Lee here. I have not listened to this, but according to the title, I believe he's going to talk about the investment. So let's hear what Tom Lee has to say. Hopefully he discusses this investment a little bit and we can get a little bit more insight.
As you know, Bitmine is the largest Ethereum treasury company in the world, the largest holder of Ethereum. And it's our view that Ethereum, which is a smart contract platform, is the future of finance, where digitalization of not only dollars, but stocks and equities is going to take place. And over time, that really blurs what is a service versus what's digital money. And that's where a collaboration and investment into Beast Industries makes sense. As you know, Mr. Beast is the number one content creator in the world. His content is watched more than, for each of his videos, 252 million views a month, which is more than the Super Bowl. And really, he is probably the iconic person for Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and arguably millennials. So he is probably one of the most important creators in the world. Beast Industries, according to Jeff Hausenbold, is planning to create a future platform of services, which includes digital items and even financial services. And that's really where a collaboration between Beast Industries and Bitmine will make sense. So I think it's part of this sort of evolution of digital platforms and money. And I think it's really uniting the number one creator in the world with the biggest Ethereum platform in the world.
That's fascinating.
For people who don't know, Mr. Beast got his start, I think it's safe to say that, he got his start in crypto. And he was a big crypto guy or Bitcoin investor and crypto investor back in the day. And that's how he made like his first nice little chunk of money, was getting into crypto early and investing and trading crypto early. And a lot of people don't know that about him. But he's like, he used to be a pretty big crypto guy back in the day. And so now it's kind of cool to see that the technology has evolved in such a way and it's gone full circle. And I think if there's anyone that could probably help him out here, it's like Tom Lee's at the top of the list.
Yeah, well, that goes both ways. I mean, I'm thinking a little bit down the road here, but if they get some type of infrastructure set up that actually is going to work, which again, that's, you know, months, if not years down the road, having Mr. Beast on your team. And I mean, so you're saying like, in theory, if they're going to set up all this, I think that's wild for Mr. Beast to be getting into digital payment stuff in general. But like when you have that type of capital, you can basically go whatever direction you want. And like you said, he got his start in investing. So it's something that he's definitely passionate about, because that was before he was even famous. So, you know, you're setting up all these guardrails, and you took this investment from Tom Lee, who, you know, is the biggest Ethereum, you know, strategy is. The Mr. Beast product's going to go on Solana? Probably not.
Maybe.
You're already leaning towards Ethereum, it seems. So I just think it would be fascinating at some point. Again, I'm sure Mr. Beast is going to keep doing what he does. But at some point, does he, if he's taking this investment on, does then he become an honorary board member of Bitmine in 3 years? I'm just throwing out topics. Like, how many times is Mr. Beast going to want to make his videos forever? Is by broadening to some type of asset, you know, financial platform, is that something that he's super passionate about? And then eventually, whether it's a year, 3 years, 5 years, is he going to start getting more involved in talking about it? Because when he talks, like Tom Lee said, people listen more than the Super Bowl every month. That was a great stat. More views than the Super Bowl every month. So if this guy starts talking about crypto to, again, the millennials down to Gen Z, I don't think it can be. If that does happen, I think that's monumentally huge. I really do. Because, again, it's that transition to the next generation. And if anybody had, nobody has a bigger microphone to the next generation than Mr. Beast. That is a fact. You can find people that maybe have a similar one. There's tons of huge creators out there, but nobody has a bigger microphone to people let's call it, just say 25 and under than Mr. Beast.
I would agree. I saw something that said that 1 in 10 people had interacted with his videos in the last 30 days or something. Something like that, which is crazy. I mean, huge influence, obviously big reach, and fascinating stuff, man. I mean, crypto really is working its way into everything. And again, it just goes to show you how much more there could be. So I think the sky's the limit, and there's a lot of different ways that these things could go. And we're just, I mean, this is so maybe like cheesy to say this because you hear it all the time, but it does feel like we're just getting started and we're just scratching the surface. And there is so much potential. And we say that, and you probably hear it all the time, but like, truly, that is where my mind is at. And I believe it.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same kind of sentiment we've been talking about with the negative price action. Just the fundamentals of the space just continue to grow. And you see that with the Clarity Act. Again, it's the number one talked about piece of financial news today. And then, you know, again, I know a lot of people that listen probably aren't as familiar with Mr. Beast as like somebody like me and you are. But it is huge to get that type of involvement if, again, I think it has to actually come to fruition for it to be a big deal. But the fact of taking that type of partnership, I think, is a big deal. And just the fundamentals for the space keep going. We're just getting started. But longer episode than I thought today. I thought this was going to be like 30 minutes on the dot. We went a little over because, again, there's just so much to talk about. We had Brendan twice this week. Thank you, Brendan, so much for joining us. I think we're going to be back next Friday. We have a technical analysis deep dive in the markets again to kind of cover what you do in the trading course. So if anybody's interested in the trading course, check the link below. We really appreciate everybody listening and watching. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and we are going to talk to you guys soon. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, kachava.com, and use code NEWS.